Welcome to Life in the Land of the Ice and Snow. My name is Heather, and I'm here today with my guest, Dean, from, I'll say, the UK, but would you mind explaining where exactly you are from, Dean?
Yes, I was born in Scotland, moved to England when I was 6 and a half, so spent most of my childhood in Bristol, which is in the southwest of England, near Wales, but spent most of my adulthood in London up until 2011. So that's kind of my background.
And I guess I'll just get right into it. What brought you to Sweden?
It was, I lived in London for 15 years. And, you know, when I kind of moved there, I was in my early 20s and it was a great place to live. But the older you get, I was in my kind of late 30s. I wanted to move. And we were in a meeting at work and someone said, we have a chance for one of our project managers to go and live in Swindon. So I thought, Swindon's not far from London. It's like, you know, kind of 30 miles down the road. So I put myself forward for it, only for it to be Sweden, not Swindon.
That's a great story.
It was meant to be a 6-week temporary project, but I moved here in November 2012. Mm-hmm. And I've been here for 11 years since. So something about Sweden kind of grabbed me and made me stay. I didn't really want to go to Swindon, if I'm honest with you.
It all worked out.
Yeah, it did. I moved from London to Norrköping and stayed there for 4 years and then moved to Stockholm around 9 years ago.
Are you still at the same job?
No, I'm not. I actually run my own company now. I left that job around 2014 and had various, my background is in kind of website design and e-commerce. So I was an e-commerce manager for Kix Cosmetics for a few years.
Oh, yes.
But then during the kind of pandemic, I decided that, you know, everyone kept saying you should have your own company. So I decided, why not? So I set one up and it's not been plain sailing the last couple of years, but we're doing good. It's going from strength to strength the last kind of 18 months. So,
yeah. Wow, that's great. So you said that you worked for Kix for a while, mm-hmm. but wouldn't you need Swedish to work for Kix?
Yes, absolutely. I've had about 6 e-commerce jobs in Sweden and Kix was the only one Kix was the only one that was Swedish speaking. And when I got there, I said, you know, I can't speak a word of Swedish. I really couldn't. But I was lucky enough to find a really good online teacher who is from Sweden but lives in Scotland. And we had Skype lessons twice a week. So, and I can speak German kind of fluently. So it really kind of helped. My Swedish is not fluent. I'm kind of about 85%, I would say.
Not bad.
It's not bad. Sometimes I still get tongue-tied and sometimes I get things in the wrong order. And, you know, like most, I do Duolingo, you know, 20 minutes a day just to top up. And I haven't had any online lessons since January this year. So it's one of those kind of industries where you work in where English is the main language. But sometimes you do get a Swedish person that just speaks to you in Swedish and you're just like, yep, and just nod your head saying, yep, I don't understand what you said, but if I Google translated it or put it into ChatGPT, I'm sure I would.
Exactly. You've learned the workaround. Okay, so let's go back. So you think you've applied for Swindon.
Yes.
You find out it's Sweden.
Yep.
This couldn't have been a, oh, well, okay then, kind of a decision. This had to take a little bit of thinking about. Or
it didn't take that long. I think it took me about 4 or 5 days because I knew that I'd had enough of London. And when they said it was in Norrköping, I just went home and looked at it on YouTube and Wikipedia and thought, this is nice because you're going from a massive capital city to a fairly small city. And I think if I went from, you know, London to Stockholm, yes, it probably wouldn't have been the same experience. I was not prepared for the winter of when I first moved. It was absolutely freezing. And me going to Primark and, you know, kind of top man in London and buying their winter clothes was almost like buying autumn clothes here. I mean, I had to go out and literally buy a new wardrobe when I got here. And that winter, if I remember in Norrköping, it started snowing in November. And I think it ended around the end of May. And I thought,
that's a rough one to move
it
to.
is. And I just thought, what am I doing here? And you know, there was enough. I was missing out all the comforts from home. And you know, luckily there was an airport, Skavsta, which is only like 30 minutes away from North Shopping. And back then, you could get Ryanair flights like £20 return. It was like really easy just for me to go home and see friends and family. But something caught me and made me stay, and yeah, I've been here ever since, and no plans to go home at all.
And that's wonderful. But do you have any idea of what it is that really, or probably a combination of things, that made you decide to stay?
Well, I met my wife here. That was one of the main reasons.
That's a big one, I think. Is she Swedish?
No, she's Spanish. So it's
okay.
Like, we have a bit of a The winter's fun for us both. Believe me.
Yeah.
I think it's just the pace of life. I mean, like I said, living in London, in your mid to late 20s, you got everything there. You know, it's a 24-hour city, 7 days a week, 365. You know, it's just amazing. But as you get to 37, 38, you kind of think, it's a bit too much getting on the tube and, you know, kind of coming home and doing all the things. And it just kind of didn't really warm to me anymore. And I always fancied living in a different country. So, you know, I've traveled quite a lot. And Sweden is probably one of the countries that I'd never actually traveled to before. So I just don't know. And everyone, you know, I had the typical stereotypical view that everyone was going to be, you know, looking like ABBA, dancing around maypoles or, but it was a massive culture shock. But maybe that's what I needed. And I think that I kind of resonated with that and just really enjoyed the change. And there's still days when I do miss, you know, being home, and you know, some parts of me just long to be in a cozy English pub with an open fire, or buying beer past, you know, kind of 7 o'clock on an evening on the way home. But I'm kind of used to it now, and I got my citizenship in 2018, so
okay.
I've got no plans of going home at the moment. I mean, we're like everyone, you have your ups, your downs, but something about Sweden just grabbed me. And I've been here since. And it's just been a really interesting journey, is what I can say.
It sounds like it. So can you tell me a little bit about your impressions moving to Norrköping? Because we haven't really talked about that town very much on the podcast.
Honestly, it is my favorite town in the world.
And
I'll be the first to hold my hands up, because when I left London, I mean, I obviously had a big group of friends. And I did know many, many people said it's difficult to make friends in Sweden. And it is. But I think what happened is moving to Norrköping, it's such a small city, but it gives you that opportunity to meet people that are interested in someone who isn't from Norrköping. I mean, I wasn't saying I was the only British guy there. There was a little group of us, but you know, sometimes every time I went out, or if I met my friends to watch football, you were kind of treated like a bit of an alien, but a bit of a celebrity at the same time. And I would say, of my 10 Swedish friends, 9 of them are still from Norrköping. And when I moved to Stockholm, I found to make friends here much more difficult than it was for me to do it in a smaller city. So I'm glad that I had that kind of opportunity to go from London to Norrköping and then Stockholm.
That's actually a good point, that it's maybe easier to make friends if you're in a smaller city.
Yeah, it is. And I still go back to Norrköping a few times a year, and I could walk into the same old pub and it'd be the same people. So it's almost like you're going back home in a way.
I should say for the recording that Mark has just popped in, my co-host. He was just running a little late today. So if you hear a new voice addition, that'd be Mark. But anyway, so we were talking about Norrköping, and then you ended up moving to Stockholm. Did you say why you moved to Stockholm? Was that also for work?
It was, yeah, because the company I was working for in the UK were taken over. So they kind of pulled the plug on all the projects, and I didn't want to leave Sweden. So I just looked around and applied for a job at Kix as their e-commerce manager, got the role. So I had to move. I did commute from Norrköping to Stockholm for the first 2 months. I don't drive in Sweden. I drive on the other side of the road and never really passed my test this side. So catching that train every day was like 3 hours kind of round trip, and you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and coming home at 8 p.m. It was a bit difficult. So no, I just I found a nice secondhand contract apartment in Stockholm, and yeah, then I met my wife a few months later. We were together for a few years, and then we got married in 2019. And we have moved around a little bit, and we've literally just moved into our first hand contract this week. So it's the first time you've ever had a first hand contract.
It's a real rite of passage in Sweden, especially in Stockholm.
Yeah, it is.
I think we've all been through that before. Yeah, I started the same in a secondhand contract where yeah. We were kind of hiding out with our names connected to the other person. I think almost everyone I've talked to has gone through that kind of thing. So you said your wife is from Spain. How did you guys meet in Sweden?
She was working in the same place where I was living, and I posted a picture, I think it was on Facebook, of an eclipse or maybe the full moon. I can't remember what it was. But I used to actually, when I first moved to Sweden, I used to write a blog which was featured on the local .se. And it was one of those blogs where they put me on the front page, and I used to write about different subjects every kind of 2 or 3 days. And a lot of people followed me that had just moved to Sweden. And one day she... This is a crazy story. She actually followed me and then added me as a friend on Facebook. I didn't use Facebook that much at the time. I went out with my friends, got really, really drunk in North Shopping, because I think my football team just won a game. And I just went home and added her as my girlfriend on Facebook. And I deleted it straight away. And then 3 years later, we started dating. So it was a bit of a funny story about having too much whiskey one night. And then 6 years later, you're married.
But it's like you could predict the future. It's amazing. It's a superpower.
It was very strange. I mean, Swindon to Sweden and then doing that and then being together. It's all a bit crazy.
So you said you had a blog that the local kind of picked up for a while. So I'm going to guess it was about your experience moving to Sweden. What got people very interested in it?
Well, I used to do a vlog when I first moved here. So every day I would do a different thing. It was things like, you know, moving from London to a smaller Swedish city and dealing with, you know, I didn't understand the ticket system when you walked into a shop. I was just like hanging around at the counter thinking, why is no one serving me? Am I invisible? You know, the transport, it was more, you know, Systembolaget kind of, why can't you buy beer on a Sunday? I mean, what is this, the 1800s? All kind of varieties of things like, I don't understand why people only wear black in the winter. I was wearing like brown and getting strange looks. It really was like a typical kind of beginner's guide to Sweden or dummy's guide to Sweden. And yeah, the local approached me in about 2011 and said, would you like to write a blog? And I said, sure. So I started to do that. And, you know, I was saying, I live near a castle. It's called Norrköping Slott, but it looks more like a country house. Uh-huh. You know, there's no drawbridge. There's no moat. This isn't a castle. This looks like a summer house from Oxford. It's ridiculous. It was kind of a bit of a comedy blog about the kind of, you know, misunderstandings between, it was, I think it was called An Englishman in Norrköping or something like that. And it was just those real misconceptions about adjusting to Swedish life and looking at it with a very, I didn't Google anything. I didn't speak to many British people when I moved here. Mm-hmm. I was like, why do you have pepper on your chips instead of vinegar? I mean, what kind of country is this? You know, why do you sell cheese in 4 kilos instead of just like, you know, half a kilo? And I never really kind of, and then I started to kind of, yeah, it became a bit of a running joke. And then the local changed and all the blogs were taken off, but I still carried on. I mean, I had a blog up until maybe 5-6 years ago, but then I kind of thought that I'm kind of more Swedish now than British in time. So I don't think I'm qualified to really kind of lecture people on, you know, the kind of the newness of Sweden, because I've been here for 11 years.
I was just curious if you ever go back and revisit some of that old content and see how you feel about it now that you've kind of turned that corner to feeling like you kind of just said more Swedish than British.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I mean, the most important things that I learned were, like I said, the very start of the blog before you joined, Mark, you know, winter clothes in Britain are not winter clothes in Sweden. And I didn't, one of my blogs is like, why are things more expensive here? Like I bought an electric razor and it was like three times more expensive than the UK, but it's the same razor, same company. But I did then kind of realize over the years that, you know, quality sometimes is better than price. And, you know, investing in a decent pair of winter boots that will last you 3 or 4 years is going to be better than buying 4 or 5 pairs from H&M where you're going to slip over and break your neck. So it kind of just went from, you know, I would say that for me, some days I find myself 80% Swedish, 20% British. Other days I'm 100% British, 0% Swedish. And I've learned that kind of balance between being a bit of both. And I think that when I go back to the UK and I meet my friends and family, they kind of look at me like I'm some kind of orphan dog at times. So who are you? What happened to you? So I just moved to a new country. I'm not the first and I won't be the last. But I do take things from the UK in my everyday life, and I take Swedish things in my everyday life, no matter where I am, and use that as a mix. And I think that that is more an advantage. Like in a meeting, I won't be Swedish. I would be British. But when I'm out with friends, I would be Swedish, you know, obviously not being too controversial about opinions, you know, biting my tongue, buying my own drinks instead of buying rounds for everyone like we do back home. So I've kind of learned that bit of balance between being British and Swedish.
So tell me, why is it better to be British in a meeting than Swedish?
No, sometimes, like today, we had a meeting, and I knew that we were going to have a meeting about the meeting and another meeting about the meeting about the meeting.
Right.
So I just said, come on, you know what we want. We've got what you want. Let's just talk it out. And we did. And within 45 minutes, we had the contract signed. And I knew if that was a Swedish company, it probably would have been three meetings, another fika, probably an after work, and then everyone gets embarrassed and the contract still wouldn't be signed. So sometimes you just have to flip that old kind of British, you know, hat on. But other times, you know, when I'm dealing with British companies, for example, we have British clients, I do put my Lagom hat on and just like sit there and go, and just kind of play with a poker face. And it works in both ways.
That's a good advantage.
Yeah, it is.
You brought up something that I thought was so funny when you said, why does everybody wear black in the winter? I mean, they kind of wear black all the time here, really. But yeah, I've got the same thing. Everyone here wears black in the winter. It's completely dark.
Yeah.
You can't see anyone. We all have to buy these reflectors to wear because we're invisible to people on the road. But I actually purchased a bright blue coat last year. I get so many compliments on that coat. Because I'm one of the only people not wearing a black coat. And I have to say, it's a lot easier to find when I go to parties in the big mess of coats.
It is. It's like everyone wears black until that day. There's that one day in like, you know, April or May where the sun's out and all the Swedes look up like lemmings into the sky and thinking, what's this yellow thing that's like shining down on us? And then then you go to work the next day and everyone's wearing yellow and orange. It's like the sky opened and, you know, Fruity Pebbles and M&Ms just rained down on everyone. They're wearing like so many different colors. And that day for me, I just call it Rainbow Day, because I sometimes just go in and I think, what the hell? You're wearing yellow? I mean, is that your body shape? I thought it was like black and slick.
Well, you know, with my second child, I didn't have him until April, and I had to wear a coat through the whole pregnancy. And I think a week before he was due, it turned to spring weather. And so I went to pick up my older child at the daycare without my winter coat, and everyone was shocked. They were like, you're pregnant? Because I was heavily 9 months pregnant. Nobody had any idea because I had this giant coat on.
Yeah, I know. It's mad. I mean, fashion here, I think, is much more. I don't know, because, like, you know, if you speak to somebody from, say, you know, I don't know, South America or Australia that's never been to Sweden, they would probably say that Swedish guys are very, you know, well-dressed and they really look after their appearance. But then sometimes where I live in Solna, and you go to a local bar around here and it's like, where did these guys come from? It's like they just crawled out of some kind of caravan place in the middle of nowhere. They just wear the same clothes like every day. And then I go to London and I see really stylish people and I think, I don't know which is the most stylish. Is it Sweden or is it London? Because I think that Swedish people definitely dress a bit more elegantly and a bit more stylish. But I think London has a little bit more individuality and kind of freshness. So, but I'm 51 now. So yeah, I just dress in what I can fit in these days.
Well, I wonder if it's also a work culture thing. I mean, I generally work in IT and software, and I see what you're seeing. Like all the guys usually, it's same t-shirts every day and just a pair of jeans, because there's not much of a strict dress code. But that's also, I guess, the field that I work in.
I was going to say, when I first moved to Sweden, I found that I've been doing, you know, sports for most of my life. So I'm kind of 6'1". I'm pretty big. And when I first moved to Sweden, I found that in Norrköping, for example, they only had H&M and Dressman. And you go into H&M and everything was skinny fit, slim fit. And I cannot fit into those at all. Mm-hmm. My legs are pretty big. So, and then I went to Dressman and I thought, okay, I can fit into these, but their fashion was so old. And I thought, you've got the choice of looking like Pee Wee Herman from H&M or a lumberjack from Dressman. That was, and I used to go home and three times a year. And just first thing I would do is just go shopping in London or Bristol so I could buy some clothes and then take them back and not look like, you know, my jeans are just shrunk in the wash, or, you know, I'm just going out chopping wood with an axe in the forest.
Yeah. I always wonder if we're missing something. I do the same when I go back to the US. That's usually when I do all of my shopping as well. Mm. But mine is more the money issue here.
Yeah.
I think because the things that I think do look good are, in my opinion, wildly overpriced.
they're incredibly overpriced. I mean, one of my clients is a fashion brand here, and even they say, you know, that their clothes are just marked up ridiculously high.
I mean, my new trick is to go to one of those. I mean, I visit a lot of resale shops, but I also use Selfie online.
I
think there's some other sites, and so then I can get the quality clothes, even if they've been worn a couple of times, but for a much more reasonable price for me, at least.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think that clothes here, you know, H&M is around in most countries, and I just think that the quality and the price is overpriced.
No, I totally agree. You know, that reminds me of a funny story with people thinking that Swedes are dressed so well. We were visiting in Texas one time, and my husband is Swedish. And one of my friends, that's a guy, he said to him, you know, you Swedes, you look so stylish. I mean, all of your clothes, we don't have clothes like this over here. And he goes, you got them in Sweden, right? And my husband's like, no, I bought them all here at Ross and Marshall's. And it was just, I think it's also maybe not necessarily the clothes that are sold, but more the way that they put them together.
Yeah.
I think is the lesson there.
I think so. Now that's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. That always made him laugh.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I can't afford clothes in Sweden. I come over here to buy them too in the US.
That's what I do. And when I first moved to, because living in London, I lived in a place where it's kind of quite fashionable to have secondhand stores. You know, it's kind of West London. But these are not your typical kind of, these are stores where, you know, you walk in and there'll be like a Gucci suit or something like this. So you would get a lot of rich people that buy all these really expensive designer clothes or given them, and then they recycle them into this secondhand store. And when I first moved to Sweden, even now, it's only the last 2 or 3 years that the secondhand market has really blown up here.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I first moved here, I couldn't find a secondhand store to donate clothes to. I literally had to just put them in the bin. It was that bad. And now you've got, you know, all these kind of, as you said, these kind of secondhand online marketplaces. You've got Stockholm Stadmission, you've got Mirana, you've got all these places that are just popping up everywhere. And our ticket is another one. In Mall of Scandinavia, they've got 3 secondhand clothes stores now.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, and it's no longer getting, you know, like Johan's, you know, kind of secondhand vest from 1985. You're actually getting really good quality stuff. It's really kind of becoming a big market here, and I think that's really good, because, you know, Sweden always prides itself on being a environmentally sustainable, friendly country, but when it comes to clothes, it's buy it and bin it from H&M, you know, and then they'll go out and do it again. So I think that's really impressed me, is that the way that Sweden has adapted to actually in kind of indulging in the secondhand market. And when you look at, you know, some of my employees are kind of 20 to 25, and they come in and they're wearing something you know, secondhand, and it looks like it was made in the 80s, but it looks really good on them. And I think it's such a good thing that a lot of kids are doing this now. They're actually saying, I want to buy secondhand clothes. And decades come back in fashion, like people on a tunnel barn. And it was the 80s, now it's the 90s, now it's the 2000s.
I've noticed.
I think if I open my wardrobe, I've still got a few clothes that might come back in fashion in a few weeks' time.
That's what I'm figuring, you know, I just need to save this stuff. It'll come back around. Well, I don't want to keep you too long, and
that's
we
fine.
Usually wrap up with talking about some tips, and I actually have a tip, a small tip, based on what we were just talking about, and that's with the secondhand stores. And my tip on secondhand stores is, instead of going into the city of Stockholm, try the suburb neighborhoods secondhand stores, because you will find much different stuff, stranger things. Sometimes maybe people don't quite know what it's worth, so you can get some good prices. So one of my biggest tips is to try the suburbs of Stockholm for your secondhand stores, just to get something even more unusual than you find a lot in the city.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip, because obviously in some suburbs there's different ethnicities and there's different kind of cosmopolitan groups that you know settle there. So if you want to go out and get something a little bit more different, maybe go to places like Kista or here in Solna, for example. You'll definitely find something a little bit more unusual than going into T-Centralen and just walking into the local thing. I mean, where I live, there's a very big Eastern European kind of community. So, and sometimes they have these incredible jackets and really amazing kind of hats and everything. And you just walk past these stores and you see them there and you think, you know, you won't get that anywhere else. It's just a one-off buy. And so it's so cool just to kind of go in and just browse around. And I've got a habit of buying, and my wife hates it, I've got a habit of buying secondhand teapots every time I go into a secondhand. So we got them from former Eastern European countries. We've got Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, it's East Germany even. It's crazy.
Wow.
But I need to stop this random teapot buying thing. But it's
a cool
really
hobby.
It is, but it's true. It's great that you can just, you know, walk around the suburbs and you know, I think that going out of the city centre into kind of more community areas is a great way to spend a dark weekend. I think it's awesome just to go to a secondhand store or a Loppis. I mean, they're indoors during this time of the year. You get some real bargains there, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you really can. So do you have any tips? I'd like to ask if you have tips for no shopping, because we don't have so many tips for that. Maybe the pub that you like to go to?
The pub is actually just a standard one called the Bishop's Arms. There's nothing special.
Okay, which every town has, I think.
It does, but that one became a very, even now, every time I go in, I still have a tab. And I haven't been there. I haven't been there in 6 years into that pub, but they still put my thing on the tab. And I met some great friends there. I mean, yesterday I posted a video of the floods that we have back home. And within five minutes on Instagram, I had 10, 15 people from North Shopping saying, oh my God, is your family okay? Is everyone okay? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just that community. It's a great little city. Linköping as well, which is, you know, just up the road. I was a board member of the Women's Football Club for the last 2 years. So I have a lovely affinity with Linköping as well. But North Shopping and Linköping, Östergötland, they're fantastic little cities. Go to Soda Shopping in the summer. It's one of the undiscovered gems of Sweden. It is beautiful in the summer. It is amazing. One of the best places you'll visit. It's a beautiful little canal city. One of the oldest cities, I think, in Sweden, if I remember. I think it was the capital city before Stockholm, but don't quote me on that. Go there in the kind of June to August. I think that you'll have some great experiences in North Shopping, Linköping, Soda Shopping. Just those three cities alone, they're within 30 minutes of each other by bus or train, or if you drive even closer. And they have Kolmården, which is like the big wildlife park, which isn't, you know, 15 minutes from North Shopping, and they've got everything there. Polar bears, wolves, lions, giraffes, roller coasters. It's an amazing part of Sweden, and I think that everyone should go there at least for a weekend or just a day trip, for sure.
Those are excellent recommendations.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for taking the time to
talk
to us today, and I wish you good luck in the dark holiday season.
Thank you, you too.
And I hope you manage to maybe take a vacation to some sun this
time. I hope so.
Year.
Yeah, my wife being Spanish, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Thanks, Heather.
All right. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.